It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Brandon Dixon. Coronavirus curtailing public life.
There will be no more gatherings of 50-plus people.
New York closing up shop as Governor Cuomo has announced all state bars, restaurants, gyms, and theaters are shuttering as of 8 tonight.
I believe we've taken more dramatic actions than any state in the United States.
He says the moves have been made to keep hospitals from being inundated.
I don't believe we're going to be able to flatten the curve enough to meet the capacity of the healthcare system.
That move comes as at least 29 states, including Pennsylvania, have closed public schools for weeks to beat the bug. Governor Wolf.
If we can slow the spread of this virus, we can flatten the curve, or we can keep an enormous number of Pennsylvanians from needing the kind of emergency treatment at the same time that's going to overwhelm our healthcare system. So this is what we need to do, and we need to do it now.
He's also announced bans on bars and restaurants in five counties. Meanwhile, NIH Director Anthony Fauci has been asked about a national quarantine.
If we could guarantee that people would get their sick leave pay, guarantee that we could basically do what FEMA does in a natural disaster, give people cash for the basics, for groceries, would you prefer a 14-day just sort of national shutdown to slow this
down? You know, I would prefer as much as we possibly could. I think we should really be overly aggressive and get criticized for overreacting.
Okay, have you made this point of view known inside the administration?
Yes.
Well, the health scare has sent stocks to a substantial sell-off. The Dow lost nearly 3,000 points at the start of trading today, causing another halt in buying and selling. Financial expert Josh Brown says there will be continued losses in the market due to the coronavirus outbreak.
The news may get worse, but the market's shock will ultimately wear off.
This after the Dow had a record 1,985-point gain on Friday. Right now, the market's down over 1,600 points. The Federal Reserve has taken massive emergency action to try to help the economy withstand COVID-19.
The central bank slashed its benchmark interest rate to near zero. It also said that it would buy at least $500 billion worth of Treasury securities and $200 billion in mortgage-backed securities over the coming months.
Business analyst Jill Schlesinger. Today, the Senate is expected to vote on the coronavirus aid that the House passed on an overwhelming bipartisan vote last week. Congressman Paul McCall serves on the House Homeland Security Committee.
That bill is so important to pass because it will give certainty to the markets, and it will provide testing that we desperately need throughout the United States.
The measure would ensure sick leave for affected workers and provide money for coronavirus testing, even for people who don't have medical insurance. The U.S. government says it'll prioritize healthcare workers and the elderly for screenings. Vice President Mike Pence offered an update Sunday.
As the American people know, testing is now available in all 50 states.
Dr. Deborah Birx with the White House Coronavirus Task Force says expect to see a spike in positive test.
For those of you who watched China and China reporting, remember when they changed their definition and all of a sudden there was a blip in their curve? We are going to see that. We are going to see a spike as more and more people have access.
49 states have confirmed cases and left more than 30 million kids out of school today. The COVID-19 chaos has also hit the skies with long lines and agonizing delays at U.S. airports. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker.
As people were flooding into O'Hare Airport, they were stuck in a small area, hundreds and hundreds of people, and that's exactly what you don't want in this pandemic.
Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf.
We did make the necessary adjustments at 12 of the funneling airports, and we are certainly glad to see certain airports and certain airlines step up, partner with us, and help address this unprecedented situation.
This is United Airlines says it'll cut capacity by about 50% for April and May as the company sees a drop in demand because of the outbreak. New this afternoon, the Centers for Disease Control calling for new national restrictions.
The CDC is now recommending there be no gatherings of more than 50 people across the country for the next 8 weeks.
That's CBS's Cindy Paub. Good news on the coronavirus front for the commander-in-chief. President Trump has tested negative for COVID-19, according to his physician. Mr. Trump had resisted being screened despite the fact that he had been in recent contact with three people who have tested positive for the virus. Amid the coronavirus conundrum, Democrats held an audience-less debate last night. Joe Biden said if elected president,
I will send to the desk immediately a bill that requires for access to citizenship for 11 million undocumented folks. In the first 100 days of my administration, no one will be deported at all.
He also attacked Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All plan.
Despite what the vice president is saying, what the experts tell us is that one of the reasons that we are unprepared and have been unprepared is we don't have a system. We got thousands of private insurance plans. That is not a system that is prepared to provide health care to all people.
The two also said they would likely look for a woman as their running mate. Meanwhile, governors of two of the states scheduled to hold presidential primaries tomorrow say voting will happen despite the outbreak. The Democratic governor of Illinois and Republican governor of Ohio both said Sunday that their elections would go forward. Four states are voting tomorrow, including Arizona and Florida. Two other states that were scheduled to vote afterwards, Georgia and Louisiana, have postponed their primaries due to coronavirus. And a cure for COVID-19? A clinical trial for a vaccine to protect against coronavirus begins today. However, Dr. Marty McCurry tells Fox News,
I would tell people to be careful of this notion that we're on the brink of a medical solution to this problem. Vaccines generally take about a year because it takes time for the immune system to be built. And let's be honest, distribution is an issue. So we're not going to get a vaccine guaranteed in the next 4 to 6 weeks, which is when we're leading up to our peak.
He adds a vaccine.
It may help with reinfection rates, but also let's not hang our hat on a medicine that's going to cure this because we've been working on a medicine for the common cold, which is another type of coronavirus, for about 50 years with no luck. So I doubt we're going to come up with one in the next 6 weeks.
Also ahead on the Noon Report, calls for calm in the Commonwealth. Politicians not exempt from contracting COVID-19 and forced to forego football fun. First, a quick peek at the forecast from meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Sunshine erasing that early day chill now, but that sun will give way to cloud cover ahead of a front that promises a little wintry mix for some late tonight. Forecast details in 10 minutes.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Here's what's happening across New York and Pennsylvania. Cuomo cracking down on coronavirus.
Gyms are closed effective 8 p.m. tonight. Theaters closing at 8 o'clock tonight. Until further notice, any bar or restaurant closes at 8 o'clock tonight.
New York's governor announcing the bans in an attempt to curb COVID-19.
There will be no more gatherings of 50-plus people.
However, he says for those wondering what to do,
we're going to waive all park fees in all state parks, local parks, county parks. So you want to get out of the house? Great. Go to the park.
In New York State, there are at least 950 confirmed cases and 7 deaths. A slew of counties across the Empire State have declared a state of emergency. Meanwhile, Governor Cuomo has announced 2 members of the New York State Senate have been diagnosed with COVID-19, both downstate Democrats. Out of caution, the Capitol has been closed to visitors, and all legislators and staff that came in contact with those members will be tested. This says Pennsylvania's Governor Tom Wolf has ordered all restaurants and bars to close their dine-in service in Allegheny, Bucks, Chester, Delaware, and Montgomery counties.
We're taking these measures with the idea that this is going to slow the spread of COVID-19. And as such, it's going to keep Pennsylvanians safe.
There are now at least 66 confirmed cases of coronavirus in the Commonwealth, including in Luzerne and Monroe counties. Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine.
We want to reassure people that we are fully capable of working with the public to address this significant public health threat.
She adds,
we really would like people as much as possible to kind of stay at home and to have less public contact than they usually would.
Pennsylvania has closed all public schools and canceled events for 2 weeks. Additionally, one of the nation's largest malls in suburban Philadelphia has closed amid a call from Governor Wolf for non-essential businesses to shut down to help stem the spread. Officials with the King of Prussia Mall said Sunday that it was closed until further notice. A number of counties in the Family Life listening area are right now or soon will be under state of emergency due to coronavirus. That means all schools will be shut down through mid-April.
Right now is the time that we are hopeful and trusting that we can begin to slow the spread of coronavirus.
Steuben County Public Health Director Darlene Smith.
This is not Armageddon. This is a virus that is highly contagious. However, that does not mean that anyone should be going to the store and buying 42 rolls of toilet paper.
Smith says the reason such drastic measures are being taken is to keep hospitals from being overwhelmed with sick people. And meanwhile, the annual blue-white football game at Penn State has become a coronavirus casualty. The contest, which marks an end to spring practice for the Nittany Lions, was called off after Big Ten conference and university officials canceled all competitions through the end of the academic year, including sports that play beyond the spring semester. Penn State is also suspending the athletically related activities indefinitely. Well, speaking of sports, time next for the 2-minute drill. Signed, sealed, delivered. Sonny has the latest on Pro Football's new CBA.
Yeah, Brandon, the NFL is conducting business as usual, and there's a lot of business today. The scheduled league year going on as planned. Players voted to approve the new collective bargaining agreement over the weekend. The new labor deal will increase the number of regular season games in the NFL from 16 to 17, as well as expand the playoff field from 12 to 14 teams. The new deal will remain in place through 2030. Now, the NFL legal tampering period begins today. Free agents are allowed to be contacted by interested teams. Both sides are allowed to agree to contracts, but no deal can be made official until Wednesday. One of the most notable free agents, former Patriot quarterback Tom Brady. As many as 8 teams expected to express interest in the future Hall of Famer. One of those teams not interested, Tennessee Titans. They have signed Ryan Tannehill to a 4-year deal worth $118 million. Dallas Cowboys signing an exclusive franchise tag on quarterback Dak Prescott. Pittsburgh Steelers signing a franchise tag on linebacker Bud Dupree, and Kirk Cousins signing another 2-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings. Houston Texans defensive end J.J. Watt is doing it again. He and his wife, pro women's soccer player Kalia Ojai, are donating $350,000 to the Houston Food Bank. The donation will provide more than 1 million meals. The Houston Food Bank is working to prepare quarantine food kits. And Rudy Gobert, he is the NBA player who jokingly touched every microphone from reporters during a press conference and then tested positive for the coronavirus, is speaking out.
It's all about protecting yourself and the people around you. I wish I would have took this thing more seriously, and I hope everyone else will do so, because we can do it together. Take care and stay safe.
Gobert is also donating $500,000 to help benefit those arena workers out of work for the Utah Jazz. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiette.
All right, great stuff, Sonny. Still to come, travel getting tricky, problems for parents, and supermarket sympathy.
Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, and a good way to celebrate is to learn more about the towering faith of this courageous saint. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. It's hard to believe, but Boston has decided to cancel its famous St. Patrick's Day parade. The decision was made, said the Boston's mayor, out of an abundance of caution to contain the coronavirus and protect the city's residents. Now, if you're among the thousands of disappointed would-be paraders and partiers, why not use this St. Patrick's Day to learn about Patrick, not the man of legend who supposedly drove the snakes out of Ireland, but about the man with an indomitable faith in Jesus Christ. In 2006, Chuck Colson told St. Patrick's story in a Breakpoint commentary. Here's a portion of it.
Patrick was born in Roman Britain to a middle-class family about 390 AD. When Patrick was a teenager, marauding Irish raiders attacked his home. Patrick was captured, taken to Ireland, and sold to an Irish king, who put him to work as a shepherd. In his excellent book, How the Irish Saved Civilization, Thomas Cahill describes the life Patrick lived. Cale writes, the work of such slave shepherds was bitterly isolated, months at a time spent alone in the hills. Patrick had been raised in a Christian home, but he didn't really believe in God. But now, hungry, lonely, frightened, and bitterly cold, Patrick began seeking out a relationship with his Heavenly Father. As he wrote in his confessions, I would pray constantly during the daylight hours, and the love of God surrounded me more and more. 6 years after his capture, God spoke to Patrick in a dream, saying, your hungers are rewarded. You are going home. Look, your ship is ready. What a startling command. If he obeyed, Patrick would become a fugitive slave, constantly in danger of capture and punishment. But he did obey, and God protected him. The young slave walked nearly 200 miles to the Irish coast, and there he boarded a waiting ship and traveled back to Britain and his family. But as you might expect, Patrick was a different person now, and the restless young man could not settle back into his old life. Eventually, Patrick recognized that God was calling him to enter a monastery. In time, he was ordained as a priest, then as a bishop. Finally, 30 years after God had led Patrick away from Ireland, he called him back to the Emerald Isle as a missionary. The Irish of the 5th century were a pagan, violent, and barbaric people. Human sacrifice was commonplace. Patrick understood the danger and wrote, I am ready to be murdered, betrayed, enslaved, whatever may come my way. Cahill notes that Patrick's love for the Irish shines through his writings. He worried constantly for his people, and not just for their spiritual, but for their physical welfare. Through Patrick, God converted thousands. Cahill writes, only this former slave had the right instincts to impart to the Irish a new story, one that made sense of all their old stories and brought them a peace they had never known before. Because of Patrick, a warrior people lay down the swords of battle, flung away the knives of sacrifice, and cast away the chains of slavery. As it is with many Christian holidays, St. Patrick's Day has lost much of its original meaning. Instead of settling for parades and cardboard leprechauns and the wearing of the green, we ought to recover our Christian heritage, celebrate the great evangelist, and teach our kids about this Christian hero.
That was Chuck Colson from back in 2006. And on today's Breakpoint podcast, Shane Morris interviews one of Chuck's closest friends and advisors and our former Breakpoint colleague, T.M. Moore, who's also the author of Celtic Flame, The Burden of St. Patrick. And tomorrow and Wednesday only, Fathom Events is showing a brand new movie starring John Rhys-Davies called I Am Patrick. Come to Breakpoint.org to see where it's playing in your area. That's Breakpoint.org. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm John Stone Street.
Time now, 12:19.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. High pressure bringing the sunshine today, and that chilly start to the day will give way to a disturbance that will bring cloud cover and a little pesky precipitation later tonight into tomorrow. In forecast form for this afternoon, sunshine giving way to cloud cover. High temperatures will range in the 40s. Rather cloudy tonight and tomorrow. From later tonight into tomorrow, there'll be some showers, and there'll be a little wintry mix for some, a little snow, some ice pellets, but just pesky nuisance amounts. Temperatures overnight in the 30s, reaching the 40s tomorrow. Wednesday, sunshine a good part of the day, clouding up later in the day with high temperatures in the 40s and the lower 50s.
Okay, Kevin, thank you very much. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, supermarket sweep.
No milk, no eggs, that kind of stuff.
I went twice uneventfully because there was nothing on the shelves that I wanted to get.
People are definitely hoarding. I've seen people's carts.
People gobbling up groceries amidst coronavirus concerns. This says the virus has infected more than 3,700 people in 49 states and left 69 dead. Dr. Ronnie Jackson says, fear not.
The numbers will go up and it is going to scare people initially, but we just have to remain calm.
This after Vice President Mike Pence announced an update on tests in the country.
We will now have access in the days ahead to more than 2,000 labs across the country that have the equipment today to process coronavirus tests much more rapidly and a much higher volume for the American people.
Dr. Brett Girard.
I'm not going to say that the lab testing issue is over, because it's not. It's entering the next phase. But the much higher priority now is, now that we have the testing available, how do we get people into the system to be tested in the appropriate prioritized way?
Dr. Anthony Fauci says discussions about restricting travel inside the U.S. haven't reached a critical level.
Travel restrictions within the country have not been seriously discussed. I mean, they've been discussed, but not seriously discussed.
On ABC's This Week, the NIH director added that he doesn't see the domestic travel restrictions happening soon. The European travel ban began at midnight on Friday, and it's being extended tonight to include the United Kingdom and Ireland. Well, 30 million students are at home today thanks to the pandemic, and that's forced families to shake up schedules.
You know, I think a lot of parents are focusing on how do I keep my kid from falling behind in math or reading, or I don't even know what to teach them in science. And really, it's just about keeping them on a schedule and making sure that they're feeling good and they're not anxious or upset.
Parent and teacher Shelley Lanschel says,
every family is different, and everyone's just going to do the best they can.
All right, now 21 minutes past the hour. This is the Noon Report for Monday, March 16th.
And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues that matter most to our public schooling families with the good Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute. This week, that issue is COVID-19, the coronavirus pandemic, and we have a lot to talk to. This is an extended edition of Issues in Education. Ralph, we've seen this distance learning thing now take root all over New York and Pennsylvania, the SUNY system. Many private schools are canceling classes. Is this a prudent response to this pandemic or a knee-jerk reaction, in your opinion, to this public health scare?
Well, my opinion really has sort of been evolving over the last few days. It seems like, you know, there's a panic that has set in at this point, and that part of this is a response to the panic. But on the other hand, as you look at, you know, sort of, I see it as sort of a tumbling effect,
yeah,
that this happens and then that snowballs into this and then into that. And I guess I'm coming down to the point where I think it's not a bad idea to just shut down everything. Yeah. I'm not sure, like in the case of colleges, that I would say let's shut it down for the whole semester, but let's shut it down for a period of time and just kind of give an opportunity to see what really happens. The distance learning thing, my concern with that is that I'm not sure that some of the colleges are really prepared to deliver instruction that way.
Yeah.
And more specifically, some of the professors have no experience whatsoever and have chosen not to participate in distance learning. And having done that myself, I know that it's not something that you can just say, okay, tomorrow we're going to do this via distance learning. It takes some training, takes some development of skills on the part of the professional staff, and I think they're going to really be limping through this, and I think there's an assumption on the part of college administrators that maybe their professors are more skilled in this delivery system than they really are.
Yeah, and every school's using a different formula in dealing with this. As I know, the SUNY system is going to be keeping some of its labs open for students who don't have the means of participating in this kind of long-distance learning. But those students who have majors that requires more hands-on learning, I think of mechanical engineers and the like, where they have to be in the classroom really to do what they do. This is severely going to affect them, is it not?
Yeah, it certainly is. And even students that may be doing an internship or a practicum, they're going to be limited by this as well. And I think the direction that the colleges are giving is to their professional staff, you know, do the best you can under the circumstances.
Yeah.
And while that sounds nice, if I were a student, particularly in some of those areas like you mentioned, some of that experience hands-on is what I really need in order to capstone my college experience.
Yeah.
And if I don't get it, it's going to leave a hole in my resume in terms of experience.
And so much of the learning that happens is that interaction between students. And it's not
Absolutely.
Just teacher to student, it's
Absolutely.
Teacher to student. That's now gone because of this new hibernation pattern we're in. The higher institutions were kind of the first to do this. We'll see what the K through 12 schools do, but I assume it won't be much longer that some of them will be shutting down as well. But there was a congressman from Texas in light of this distance learning phenomenon that's going on. I know SUNY system is keeping its campuses open, so students will be allowed to be on campus. There just won't be any in-class instruction. But some private schools like Bucknell is kicking everybody out. And this congressman says if you're doing that, then the schools need to reimburse the students' the tuition costs.
What are your thoughts about that?
Well, that's going to be a real nut for the colleges to take care of. Obviously, their budgets are built not only on tuition, but particularly in the residential community, based on room and board. And many of the colleges are requiring their support staff to continue to report for work. So yeah, those costs are not going to go away, and it's going to be a really big financial hurdle for the colleges to refund room and board, which I think you could make an argument they should do. But it's going to really put a hole in their budget because they're, other than perhaps food costs, their costs are still going to be there, and to turn around and, you know, return that money is going to be a significant budget issue. And in some cases, because of the way, particularly in private colleges, they're really struggling so much with finances as it is, I'm afraid that it could even be the death knell for some of them if they're forced into a situation where they have to give healthy refunds for basically at least half a semester, if not more.
That kind of struck me. I can understand shutting down for a week or two, but some of these schools that have already ended the spring semester, to me, it's just, what? I mean, I liken that to the sports thing as well, where, you know, some leagues are just, you know, 30 days, we'll see where we are. But to cancel the entire semester, to me, does that seem extreme to you, Ralph?
It does. I think, you know, I am supportive at this point of a temporary shutdown, you know, a couple of weeks or something like that, just kind of see how it goes. But to just say for, you know, the whole semester, which is through the middle of May or so, that we're done, seems extreme to me. And that's a long way away from now to be making those decisions.
All right. It just seems like everybody's kind of in that hunkered down, shelter-in-place mode. Five states now have canceled K-12 schools, including Ohio and Michigan, and now we've got what's going on at the college level. And if you're just joining us, this is a special edition of Issues in Education. We're taking extended time today to talk about the COVID-19 pandemic and the impact that it's having in our school system, whether it be elementary, whether it be high school, or even at the college level. This is something we cannot ignore. And in the sports world, Ralph, this is, to me, one of the biggest aspects of this story is what this has done to sports. It's just game over here. And at the college level, you've got a lot of kids who now maybe they're in their senior year. What happens to them as far as eligibility issues and the like? Talk to that if you would.
Well, I see that there is developing a grassroots idea on that, and that would be that they would have their eligibility for the senior year would be restored. Mm-hmm. But even with those, the seniors being taken care of, goes right down the line, really. I think if you're going to go in that direction, you have to restore everybody's eligibility for another year. But certainly, as you mentioned, with the seniors, that's got to be just absolutely heartbreaking, because you certainly build towards that year, not only academically, but in athletics as well. And then to turn around and just say, well, sorry, but we're not going to play any more games at all, your college career is over, I think is really pretty dramatic.
Yeah, and then talk about those high school kids. My heart breaks. We got a local school here just up the road, 4 miles. It was looking forward to competing in the state tournament. Avoca Central School had a team that I thought could win it all. I've been 30 years since they've been there, and to tell those kids that it's over, just life isn't fair sometimes, is it, Ralph?
Well, it isn't fair, but again, I would hope that as a result of all of this, that, you know, all of us would be praying about the situation. There are lots of implications, not only for the college setting, but for the public school setting as well, in terms of the careers of the students academically and athletically. And it certainly shows how something like this can just turn our world upside down.
You know, the irony of this, I think about social distancing. That seems to be the new buzzword. Maybe through this, something as devastating as this, we may, given the technology that has separated us for so many years, maybe through something like social distancing, we'll rediscover our common humanity and what matters most in life. Just a thought.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. I mean, we have become more and more reliant on technology, and we've already committed, maybe not intentionally, but we've already committed kind of social distancing.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll realize through this that we do need each other.
Yeah.
And that would be my prayer, that we would come together not only locally but at the state and national level.
Yeah.
And recognize that, you know, we need to be in all of this together. Yeah. And put some of our differences aside and recognize the God of the universe would have us come together and be grateful people in serving him.
Amen. Gives new meaning to the words March Madness, I guess. I got to throw
there
it out
go.
There since they canceled the tournament this year. But important issue. If you didn't get to hear all of it, it'll be on our website. But Ralph, where can folks find more information about your organization?
Well, we can simply do that by going to whyrun.org. Whyrun.org.
And Issues in Education airs Mondays during the Noon Report or online anytime at fln.org/news.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. High pressure bringing the sunshine today, and that chilly start to the day will give way to a disturbance that will bring cloud cover and a little pesky precipitation later tonight into tomorrow. In forecast form for this afternoon, sunshine giving way to cloud cover. High temperatures will range in the 40s. Rather cloudy tonight and tomorrow. From later tonight into tomorrow, there'll be some showers, and there'll be a little wintry mix for some, a little snow, some ice pellets, but just pesky nuisance amounts. Temperatures overnight in the 30s, reaching the 40s tomorrow. Wednesday, sunshine a good part of the day, clouding up later in the day with high temperatures in the 40s and the lower 50s.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Finally, at noon, one lady's making grocery runs for her elderly neighbors amidst coronavirus crackdowns.
It actually came about when I called my grandfather the other day. He told me, I'm on my way to the grocery store. And I was just kind of concerned. He's 91, and I thought, is there a reason you have to go to the grocery store?
Becky Heffler lives in North Carolina, far from her grandfather in New Jersey.
That's what made me think maybe I can go grocery shopping for others, since I do live in a community that has several senior citizen neighbors.
Yeah, she's now posting signs in her area to let others know she's available to help at no charge. She's reminding each of us to do our part. And that is the world we live in this Monday. Thanks for coming along. I'm Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.